today, before even pleasantries are exchanged, there is one thing that has to happen for anybody that calls into the Coulter Automotive Group sports line.
Doug and Wolf want you to declare now.
Bill Savage, general manager formerly of the Browns and the Hot Shots, you're on the hot seat, a position you've done before in your life, with the number one pick in the NFL draft. What are you doing, Phil? What are you declaring?
Well, it depends on which coach I hired back in the winter.
Oh, very well done. Good morning, Phil. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well. I think that, honestly, if I were in that position, Quinnen Williams might be my choice. I think he's probably the safest, most certain player in this draft. I think you know exactly what you're going to get, and it would fulfill somewhat of a need on my roster if I were in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. So why not Nick Bosa? If you're going to go with a position player other than a quarterback, why not Nick Bosa?
Well, I would subscribe to the idea that if you can create pressure on the inside, that is more difficult for an offense to take care of than the outside pressure. I mean, we see the quarterbacks like Tom Brady and Russell Wilson, they avoid that outside pressure by stepping up in the pocket. And Williams is such a dynamic player. He's good against the run, and he can be disruptive on the interior of that defensive line. And to me, that's really where the NFL game is played. You know, he's not Aaron Donald in terms of that kind of supreme quickness, but he is that kind of powerful force in the middle of a defense. And, you know, to me, when you're facing Jimmy Garoppolo, who will be healthy this year, and Russell Wilson, and, you know, the other quarterbacks in the division, I think it would be at a premium.
Yeah.
Now, saying that, Wolf, I think in reality, there's a couple different things. Let's operate in the real world, which is what are the Cardinals up to right now. They're on the field for this mini camp. Clearly, Cliff Kingsbury's had a chance to work with Josh Rosen in the classroom now and on the field. And I think one thing that has happened is that in the last couple of weeks, he's like, well, wait a minute. Other than Patrick Mahomes, this is as gifted of a quarterback that I've ever worked with on the field. He's big. He's got an arm. He's somewhat athletic. He's accurate with the ball. You know, is this what's going on in terms of, all right, we haven't been able to consummate a trade for Josh Rosen ahead of the draft, and that's not really what we wanted to do anyway because we don't have Kyler Murray yet. Remember when I mentioned to you guys a few weeks ago, you want to make sure that Kyler Murray is 100% healthy and ready to go.
Right.
So you can't make that move with Rosen until you have him on board. Or if you trade Rosen ahead of time, then you can go ahead and take Murray at one. I think one thing that's happened, where I'm going with this, is I think because Rosen has probably at least intrigued Cliff Kingsbury enough for them to say, well, you know what, let's see what kind of trade offers we can get to maybe the 4 spot with Oakland or the 5 spot with Tampa and still get Kyler Murray. And at that point, then we can really start to shop Rosen. And if Murray goes, we've still got Rosen in our pocket. We're going to get a top defensive player, and life moves on, and we can spin it any way we want come out of this. We can say that this was our plan all along.
This is Phil Savage, former NFL general manager of the Hot Shots, joining Doug and Wolf. And as I listen to you, Phil, I got to wonder, you were a GM. So you're sitting in your office. You've hired Cliff Kingsbury. You're the GM of the Cardinals. And following everything you just said, he comes walking into your office and says, you know what? Remember everything I said about Kyler? I like Josh. Josh can handle everything. I want to stay with Josh. Are you banging your head against the wall thinking, why did I hire this flip-flopper? Or are you in heaven because he just said this and the whole room opens up to you?
Yeah, I think I would opt for the plan B, so to speak. I think the reality is, as much as people have regard for Cliff Kingsbury and the fact that he's a quarterback whisperer and all those things, other than a cup of coffee as a player, he's never really been in the NFL. And I think anytime a college coach makes that move from college to the NFL, you have to take a bit of a step back and say, whoa, wait a minute. Some of these guys are, I mean, this is a better level of player than I've worked with at the college level. And I wouldn't be surprised at all. Look, there's the reason Josh Rosen went 10th overall last year. And there's a lot of people in the league that feel like that if he had stayed in school and played one more year at UCLA, he could conceivably be at the head of the class of this particular group of quarterbacks. So, you know, I don't think it would be a shock at all if Cliff Kingsbury's come to the realization that, wait a minute, this guy can do everything I need in my offensive system, and he's got size, and he's got 13 starts under his belt, which none of these quarterbacks can sell tomorrow night that are coming in as rookies. And we've already paid him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And Phil, doesn't it also reflect well on Josh Rosen in regard to how he's handled this whole situation so far?
I would say he's probably earned more credence. If everything that we've heard and read over the last few weeks is true, I would say he's earned more credence and more respect inside the Cardinals building than maybe he did going through the slings and arrows of this past season. Because, you know, he showed he's tough enough. I mean, he took a lot of hits, 45 sacks, I believe, in 13 games. I mean, he got roughed up. And now this is the challenge from the neck up. And Wolf, you know this as a pro athlete. A lot of times it's not from the neck down. It's from the neck up, and especially at the quarterback position. And I would say that the way he's conducted himself and, you know, seeing some of the B-roll that we've gotten a chance to watch, you know, when they've been on the field the last day or so, I think he's handled himself well, and it probably helps his status around the league as well.
I cannot help but think, Phil, as I watch Josh Rosen and what it is that I know about Josh Rosen, the beating that he took last year, of course, and how bright and smart this guy is, and then the way he's handled this situation right here, you know what I thought of? I thought of Bill Belichick. I thought of smart and tough in the way that Bill Belichick loves to get smart and tough football players into his organization. And do you think there's a possibility that Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots are interested in Josh Rosen?
I think there could be that possibility. Let's get into tomorrow night, and let's just say that the Cardinals do take Kyler Murray and they're willing to move off from Josh Rosen. You know, it sounds like the Redskins and the Giants, I don't know that either of those two teams are really as interested as maybe people think. I think that the more sensible reality is one of those teams at the bottom of the first round who is in need of a quarterback, not necessarily right now, but potentially the next year or two. And then they can gauge Josh Rosen versus whoever the quarterback is that kind of falls out of the group. You know, we've got Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, Drew Locke, Daniel Jones. You know, it depends on what order they come off. But one of those guys is going to be the comparison to Rosen down in that late 20s, maybe even 32 range of this draft. And then that's where you decide, okay, are we willing to give up a first-round pick for a guy that's already gotten a signing bonus? He's got 13 starts under his belt. He's shown the maturity to handle a pretty tough offseason. Let's go ahead and do this. So I think a team later in the first round would be more apt to make this trade than one of those teams, you know, in the top 15, like the Redskins at 15, the Giants at six and 17. I don't see them doing that. I think they feel like they could get a premium, you know, non-quarterback, or maybe take one of their own. And the other thing to think about, too, for the Cardinals is I think a couple of their needs, one would be tight end, one would be potentially another corner. And I think if they got a pick down in the 20s, late 20s, that 32 range, there will be some corners available in that spot of the draft. And so it might be worth their while to consider it.
Coming up next, we get another beautiful part of the program with Phil Savage. He's nice enough to join us for two. And the big question for a guy that's run an NFL draft, when you're actually 2 days away from the draft, as the Cardinals were yesterday, does he buy anything that Cliff Kingsbury just said?
We're still working through it. It's a process, but I wouldn't say the hay is in the barn.
Really? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. If you just tuned in, we're really happy to have Phil Savage on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. And the reason why that we are happy is because not only is he a good dude, but to actually be somebody that's run an NFL draft, he did it with the Cleveland Browns, to take us to the inside of what's really going on as it was when he was in that position. And Phil, something happened yesterday that I just have a hard time believing. Cliff Kingsbury, at the beginning of the on-field portion of off-season workouts, spoke to the media. And he said,
"We're still working through it. It's a process, but I wouldn't say the hay is in the barn."
So they say they don't know for sure. It's not completely done what they're going to do at number one. How much truth is in a statement like that?
You know, I tend to think that they really are not 100% sure of what's going to happen. I do believe they are going to field some calls about that number one choice overall. I tweeted one day last week that I felt like that a team might be willing to move up to that number one spot if they felt like one of those defensive players was clearly head and shoulders above everyone else. In other words, if you wanted the choice of the defensive players, you could go up there, and the Cardinals might be willing to make the deal because they're not going to be able to command a king's ransom for the number one choice this year because it's not a universal consensus that Kyler Murray's worth going up there to get. So with that being said, I would say that they've got 90% plus of their plan in place, but to know exactly how it's going to turn out, I think he's probably being honest and truthful in that assessment.
Wow. You know what's interesting about that too, Phil? Based on what you said in the last beautiful part of the program about Josh Rosen and maybe his exposure to Josh Rosen, maybe that has created a little bit of, hey, listen, you know what? Maybe the Josh Rosen option is not as bad as we once saw it.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that, Wolf, because, again, you're talking about, first of all, a bigger man, Rosen versus Murray. You're talking about a guy that can clearly throw the ball just as well in terms of arm strength. Now, he doesn't have the scoops and the jets and the mobility that Murray has, but that's really – it's an important part of it, but in the NFL – at some point in time, everybody pins these quarterbacks into the pocket, and that's where you have to really play from. And Rosen is more of the prototypical NFL quarterback. And I would just tend to think that in an on-field workout, in a classroom setting, most any coach in the NFL would be impressed with what Rosen could do in that kind of environment, and I'm sure that's exactly what's happened here.
As a general manager who watched every snap of Kyler Murray in college, who saw every snap of you know, a guy like a Josh Rosen in his year, and then you watch the combine, you take all this information, and then suddenly someone hands you a sheet, Phil, that says Kyler Murray, 20. That was his Wonderlic score. Do you care?
I don't think I would care as much. You know, the old line of demarcation used to be 15, and then for some it was 20. But on the Wonderlic and the other alternative testing that's now available to these teams, I don't think there's a lot of credence put into that particular test anymore. I don't know that it would carry any weight at all, especially if you've had a chance to visit with Kyler on multiple occasions and really find out what he knew and what he doesn't know about his own offense and about defensive structures. I think that they would have had an answer to that question a long time ago.
Phil, is a 31 good on the Wonderlic? Is that good? A 31?
I'd say that's really good. You can get a job out in corporate world, but I don't know if it helps you in football all that much.
You fell into the trap, Phil. That's what Wolf scored, so he wants to ask that every time somebody gets asked about the Wonderlic.
I knew that, and you know what? I would say this. If Wolf scored 31 back in his day, that's probably like a 48 now.
Oh, no.
Guys practice. They have the test, and they practice all this stuff for weeks leading into the combine. That's the thing that's really changed, in my opinion, in scouting. In those days, guys would show up at the combine. They had never done a three cone or a short shuttle. They just put their hand down and go. And you could reasonably compare the player from Mississippi State versus the one from Mississippi Valley State. Now it's all about this excessive training and everything else. And so there is some artificial nature to this testing that goes on now on and off the field. Sometimes you don't know exactly what you're getting because these guys are so well rehearsed and practiced in all these different events, including the Wonderlic.
That's really good. Phil Savage, former NFL general manager, joining Doug and Wolf to talk all things NFL draft, how it relates. Let's go to something differently as it relates to the Cardinals. They probably felt like the cornerback position was done. They signed Robert Alford, who they hope has a rebound year. They've got one of the best in football in Patrick Peterson. But now you come off a year where last year he requested a trade, and now a kid like Josh Rosen can handle this crazy offseason and come to offseason workouts. Yes, they're voluntary, but Patrick doesn't. Does this suddenly become a need? Would you be so fed up if you're a general manager you actually consider trading Patrick Peterson if you get a first-round pick?
I don't know if you ever get totally fed up with that kind of talent and that kind of ability, but I certainly would be hedging my bet and getting another corner, another young corner in position, because now – you have a little bit more leverage to say, okay, you know, we'd be willing to move on from Patrick Peterson at some point in time. But I don't think the Cardinals will do that. I think they take a lot of pride in, you know, guys like himself. And then, of course, Larry Fitzgerald. Those are players that are identified. Those are the faces of the franchise right now. And I would say that, you know, it's probably a situation that can be resolved.
Phil, you know, I've never asked you this, but I've wanted to for the longest time. You were there in Cleveland in 1992-93 when I was there. You were with the Cleveland Browns. You worked with Bill Belichick. How much did he think of the locker room? How much did he think of the chemistry in that locker room and the guys he was going to bring in?
You know, Wolf, I would say back then in the early 90s in Cleveland, and obviously Bill would answer this for himself, but I think that we were more in the collection of talent business at that point than we were in building a team. And I think that's one of the big differences between what he's done in Cleveland and what he's accomplished in New England. I think that 5 years of experience in Cleveland served him extremely well when he got to New England, because I do think that he recognized that his initial belief that it's all about the team is the right way to go. And if you remember, in 95, we signed Andre Rison, yeah, you know, to come from Atlanta to the Browns. He was going to be the guy to push us over the top. And in truth, he became a very disruptive personality. Our locker room couldn't absorb him and some of the antics that went on with him on and off the field. And so I would say that in 92-93, it was about collecting talent. I would say in 02 and 03, when he got another chance with New England, it was about the team first culture that, you know, obviously is very identifiable with the Patriots these last almost two decades.
Can't have you on enough. I know you're really busy, Phil.
Thank you, Phil.
Great pleasure. Thanks for calling in.
Guys, I'm not all that busy right now after this podcast, but I do have a lot of radio coming up here over the next couple of days across the country, and then they're utilizing me on some of the SiriusXM platforms. But I always enjoy the time with you two, and let's stay in touch, and we'll see where all this goes after the draft. Some of us from the Alliance are waiting to see what happens post-draft, and see if we get another shot to go back to the NFL or maybe something else develops.
Oh, well, good luck.
You deserve it.
Let's love to have you on again next week.
Appreciate
then.
You.
Let's react. Thanks, Phil.
Okay, guys. Appreciate it. Take care. Bye.